Welcome to the broadcast.
Every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the house. Your weekend wake-up tradition.
Farm living is the life for me.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is Saturday morning, 8 o'clock. It's Rosie on the house, your Saturday morning tradition since 1988, fourth Saturday of the month. So in our outdoor living hour, we have Farmer Greg joining us to talk about urban farming at your own home, castle, or cabin. You don't need a lot of space. You can even do it in patios, condos, in anywhere you've got light, a balcony, a window. But today, you might need a little space for today's topics. We're talking about livestock for your yard. And good morning, Farmer Greg, and you brought along a guest with you as well.
Hello, hello. I have Kari Spencer with the Microfarm Project, and she is our resident expert here at the Urban Farm on backyard livestock. And what we call livestock might surprise you a little bit.
We're not looking for the dairy cow or the oxen or the drafting mules.
Right. So we're primarily going to be talking about chickens and goats, but we have some other surprises along the way. So really what we want to do is start by talking about the benefits of keeping, let's say, chickens in your yard, Kari.
Yeah, why would you want to do that, right? Well, there are more benefits than we're going to be able to talk about today, but the example of chickens, the obvious thing is eggs.
Right?
Yeah.
Or meat, if you want to raise.
Mm-hmm. Or meat for some people. Chickens are great at composting. They're a lot of fun to have around. You can use the feathers. You can use every part of the animal for something, for fertilizer, for all sorts of different things. And
the chickens also that lay eggs aren't the chickens that we use for meat processing. Raising meat.
Sorry?
That in general, that's true. Yeah, Romy, we the chickens that we raise for meat, they grow really fast and they grow really big really fast. Mm-hmm. And they're not very good egg layers. On the other hand, the egg layers tend to be lighter weight and they can live for a very, very long time, and they're the ones that we get the eggs from, and we generally don't mix the two, because that really stresses out the flock.
Right, well, and meat birds, so I've actually raised meat birds here at the Urban Farm. About 10, 12 years ago, I raised 25 meat birds over the course of the year. And one of the things that I discovered is that if they get to 10 weeks old, the way they grow so fast and so heavy, they can no longer walk.
And
that is true for some.
And in that 10-week time frame, that's not even half the time a laying chicken needs life-wise before she even starts laying. You know, they don't start laying till about 6 weeks or 6 months, I'm sorry.
6 months, exactly, exactly. And so one of the things I discovered while I was butchering the meat birds about a decade ago here at the Urban Farm, one of my hens, laying hens, went lame. And she couldn't walk anymore. So I put her out of her misery and butchered her. And the size of her breasts were about the size of a quarter. The size of the breasts on the meat birds were like a pound and a quarter each.
It takes a lot of energy to lay an egg every day.
It does. It does. So that's the difference really between meat birds and laying hens.
And like Kari had said, you're chickens, your egg layers, they will live a long time. Now, they won't lay consistently that whole time, but there's a lot more function, as you were mentioning, than just eggs.
Yeah, that's right. You're correct that they don't lay their whole life, but they do other things. Like, they're good at gardening, for example. You know, if you let them loose for just a little while in your garden, they will go and run around and find bugs and scratch through that soil and do a little aerating, and they can help to break down your compost. a lot of things that chickens can do besides lay eggs.
Leave fertilizer behind.
Yeah, for sure.
Our buddy Don over at the Bee Oasis out in Mesa has four large garden beds in his backyard and one portable chicken coop. And each quarter, so every 3 months, he moves the chicken coop from one bed to the next. So during the course of a year, one bed gets the chickens tilling and fertilizing. And then when he moves it, he plants it, plants the bed that they got done with. So
he rotates his crops with chicken.
Exactly. And so in permaculture, you guys have heard me talk about permaculture before. Permaculture, I like to call the art and science of working with nature. In permaculture, we call this stacking functions. And basically what that means is we have one asset, in this case, a hen, a laying hen, that does multiple things for us over the course of their lifetime.
The way we use them at our house is the ones that lay, we keep in a cage. I mean, it's a big cage. It's a couple hundred square feet. And we'll have a dozen to two dozen at any given time. And what we'll do is we'll always get a different breed so we can tell the age of the chicken. And that way when breed, you know, our Buff Orpingtons hit the three-year mark, we'll move them out to the orchard, and then they just live in the orchard the rest of their life. If we let the laying chickens do that, our dogs would eat all the eggs and we'd never get any eggs. So we have to keep them caged so we get the eggs, but then the dogs, will they'll take care of them and they'll protect them, their border collies, and they'll herd them just like they herd the cows or any other flock.
And
they just kind of move out and find their own roost in the orchard once they're done as premier layers. And then, like Kari was saying, you know, we get the fertilizer, we get the scratching, we get the insect control all out in the orchard. All hands free.
Right. And Kari, can you say a little bit about the laying process? So Romy already mentioned that it takes them about 6 months to mature enough to start laying. Then what happens?
Well, then they start laying. They'll start with small eggs generally, and they get bigger as the hen gets older. They lay, well, it depends on the breed. Some breeds can lay an egg a day, just about.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And others, not as many. Like generally the colored eggs that everybody likes, those breeds can lay less often, but they, of course, they make those blue and green beautiful eggs. And as the hen gets older, the eggs get bigger, but they get fewer and fewer.
Right, that's one of the things I've noticed is that the older they get, the eggs get bigger, but we get them less often.
And go through some of y'all's favorite laying breeds of chicken. If somebody hasn't got them before, you can go to any livestock shop throughout the state and find a wide variety. And a lot of that, I've noticed, depends on what hatchery they're buying from. They could be buying from New Mexico or California or Ohio. So the variety from those different hatcheries varies greatly. What have y'all enjoyed?
Well, let me jump in here first. Western Ranchmen, Dottie and Amy over at Western Ranchmen, they're rock stars. That's my favorite store in town.
Been in Arizona, 70 years at that location?
Something like that. Absolutely. And they always have a good supply in the spring and the fall. One of my favorites is the Easter Egger or Americana, as they call them. Those are the ones that lay the blue and green and sometimes brown eggs. And they're pretty reliable. You know, we've got 5-year-old hens now, and we're getting, out of 8 of them, we're getting 3 to 4 a day.
Which is plenty for 2 people.
Right. And enough to share as well. Kari?
I really like Buff Orpington, but they're kind of a heavy breed. They eat a lot for the eggs that you get.
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of lightweight breeds. But what I would recommend that people do is go online. There are resources that you can Google and find that you can put in what it is that you want out of a hen, and it'll give you recommendations. And I would also ask around and find out what breeds do really well where you live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's some that'll like the heat better, some that'll like the cold better. So depending where you are in the state, you know, you're going to probably get a little bit different breeds.
Yeah, that's correct.
Now, what does a chicken need? If I'm going to start my own little flock in the backyard, what do I need to start looking at situation-wise?
If you're starting with hens that are past the chick phase, because they have a whole different set of needs. So if you've got what I call teenagers or adult hens, then you need some sort of housing. It doesn't need to be fancy, but they do need a roof over their heads. They need some protection from predators.
One of the key things that I learned about 10 years into my experiment of keeping chickens is that you want the laying boxes to be low and the roosting bars to be high. I built, maybe 10, 12 years ago, I built a coop with the nesting boxes high and back so I could open the back and pull the eggs out. And what I found is that they were sleeping in the nesting boxes. And either of you know what hens do when they sleep?
That's when they drop most of their fertilizer.
Exactly. they are dropping most. So what we were ending up with was laying boxes full of manure, which is not, that's not a good thing. So when you're building your coop, put the laying boxes low and the roosting bars high. And you know what I did for the laying boxes is super simple.
Okay. And I'm going to leave everyone hanging on that word. We can do a lot, but we can't stop the clock. More with Farmer Greg and Kari Spencer of the Micro Project right after this.